Gospel. We'll be looking together at chapter 18 to open up the message this morning. Discovering the freedom of forgiveness. One of the things I came to find out a long, long time ago was that there's one thing all of us will have to deal with at one time or another. Either have to forgive somebody for having hurt us or having to give forgiveness. Because we were wrong somebody else. For 14 years, I traveled as a full-time evangelist and preached all across the country and had a great time. And I found out something that no matter whether it's a large church or a small church, urban church, rural church, whatever it might be, everywhere where people gather together, there was an issue that we all have to deal with, ultimately and eventually. That is the theme of forgiveness. Simon Peter struggled with that, and Jesus had to help Simon Peter understand what it means to forgive somebody. And so this morning I'm praying that God help us to discover the freedom of forgiveness. And let me share with you out of my own personal life. Many, many years ago, I struggled with a situation in our family that was unspeakably difficult. And I realized that God had spoken to my need and spoken to my heart through this very subject of forgiveness. And I want you to know that this morning, as we begin to share this message on discovering the freedom of forgiveness, that I pray God will set somebody free this morning from the bondage of bitterness. God will give us the victory over that and help us to discover the freedom that comes from forgiveness. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. It's a little bit different than on your study guide, but let's begin reading in verse 15 and read through verse 22. Jesus said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And before we read verse 21, just a note. I love reading those passages where Simon Peter had discussions with Jesus. Simon Peter was always searching, he was always struggling to find out about this wonderful gospel truth that Jesus is talking about. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Then Simon Peter did something that sometimes we do subconsciously. We answered his own question. "What about seven times, Lord?" And I've got that underlined in my Bible because it struck me as a little bit humorous. Simon Peter would confess his struggle with this thing called forgiveness, but yet he had in his mind how far it needed to go. And some people want to get serious about their faith, but not too serious when it gets to dealing with things of the heart. Like forgiveness. I like what Jesus said. Simon Peter said, "Shall I forgive him seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until 70 times seven." And for anybody who may be tempted to be a legalist, Jesus was not saying, "You forgive 490 times, Simon Peter, on the 491st time. On the next one, you can help yourself." What he was saying was, "Simon Peter, there'll always be a need for the grace of God in dealing with this matter of forgiveness." I want to just share with you just a sentence I wrote in the study guide this morning. I hope that will help be helpful to you. Forgiveness is one of those central themes of the Bible. It's full of records of people's struggles with forgiveness. Everybody here today either has a need of or will need God's grace in the matter of forgiveness. Note Simon Peter's response to Jesus' question, how far should I go? If you were going to be completely and totally honest, if I were to come and sit down with you in a moment of just quiet sharing together and say, is there a broken relationship that you'd like to see healed? Is there a wound you'd like to see forgiven? Is there a hurt that you'd like to see made right? I'm sure that most of us would say yes. And I've got good news for you this morning. The good news of the message of the Word of God is Jesus came to extend forgiveness to all who would by faith trust Him. If Jesus can forgive me and can forgive you, He can give us the grace to forgive others or to ask for forgiveness as children of the living Father. Let's understand what we're talking about. How would you define forgiveness? And I want to suggest a couple of things here. First of all, forgiveness is me giving up my right to get even. Now that may disappoint some of you. The old saying, I don't get mad, I got thank you. And so, forgiveness is not me giving. It's not me giving up my right to get even. It is me giving up my right to get even. The Lord wants His very best for us. I've come that you might have life, He said, and have it more abundantly. And a lot of folks miss out on God's promise of eternal and bountiful, abundant life because they don't take seriously this matter of forgiveness. We kind of put it under the rocks, you should say. Put it out of the way where it's not able to be seen. But the truth is, if there's a problem in your relationships, whether somebody has hurt you or you've wounded somebody else, ask the Lord to give you a listening ear this morning. Somebody wrote a long time ago in a commentary I read, forgiveness is my willingness to live with the consequences of somebody's wrong against me or someone that I love. It's me giving up my right to get even. It's my willingness to live with the consequences. The truth is, we can't go back and undo anything that was said or done. We can't change anything that happened a long time ago. We can just simply do what we can to extend God's grace through us to others or ask others to forgive us. Forgiveness is my willingness to live with the consequences of somebody's wrong against me or somebody I love. Now, the truth is, somebody may not have hurt you, but if you've had somebody that you love wounded, then that's a different thing. Now, I used this illustration a long time ago when I first came to preach for you. Let me share it with you again, may I? One of our deacons in the church I serve gave us tickets to the Miami and Alabama game at the college football championship game. And I believe it was in New Orleans, wasn't it, Libby? And Libby and I went, and that wonderful deacon gave us a motel room, and this is a wonderful thing. And there toward the end of the game, I know that some of you don't watch football, but I glance at it every once in a while. Miami was our opponent, and the game was kind of tight. And one of Miami's receivers had gone down the field, and Alabama's defender was right on his heels. The Alabama defender broke up the play, and it has a turning point in the ball game. And as we were standing up hollering and carrying on, roll tide, roll, and all that stuff, the lady next to Joey, by the way, our youngest son Joey was with us too. Joey was standing up shouting, praising God, and having a wonderful time, and just having a good football moment. And there was a little lady sitting next to him on the other side. And she must have been a Miami fan. I just figured that out. But she wasn't very happy. And she turned to our son, who I think was about 15 or 16 at the time, and cursed him vividly, energetically, enthusiastically. And I want you to know, Libby's, Sure, her name is Sweet Libby for a reason. She's a sweetheart. She has a high tolerance for stuff. But you see, 100,000 fans hollering Roll Tide Roll didn't bother Libby, but when one woman cussed her baby boy,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I saw in a moment her, hey, do y'all remember seeing what was that show with the Lou Ferrigno?
Incredible.
Oh. I saw Libby turning green and swelling up. And her clothes were starting to pop the buttons off. And she was about to get out of her seat and convinced to conversate with that lady. I put my hand on her shoulder and said, sit down, honey. We've got the football. Now, you say, Brother Jackie, what point are you making? It's hard to offend somebody sometimes, but don't mess the grandchildren. Amen? Don't mess the grandchildren. And I don't know what your journey has been like. It's hard to go through life without having episodes or events of somebody being wounded or hurting you or saying something to you. But forgiveness is difficult because this is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. Forgive 70 times 7. But Lord, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. You don't know how they hurt me. Jesus didn't make any exceptions. He said, forgive and it shall be forgiven unto you. God understands how hard it is to forgive. It's difficult. It's difficult because of our emotional pain. It's difficult because of our sinful pride. Remember me telling you that I had gone through a season in my own life years ago where I had to deal with this thing called forgiveness on a personal level, and it was very difficult for me. I didn't handle it very well, and they didn't teach me in seminary how to handle a broken heart. But God got me through it, and God confronted me one day with a friend of mine, and I've shared this illustration with you too. Let me share it with you one more time. God speaks to us in various ways. But I was sharing with a friend of mine, one of my best friends in the ministry, about the hurt of our heart and my own personal struggle with what to do. And I never will forget what my friend said to me. He said, Jackie, you need to go home. You need to do whatever it takes to make things right. Don't try to decide who's to blame. Don't try to decide whether it's right or wrong. Do what it takes to make things right. And that's what Jesus was saying to Simon Peter. Forgive not just once or twice, not just 70 times 7, but as long as there's a need for forgiveness. By the way, just this thought, you will never have to forgive anybody, now get this, as much as Jesus had to forgive you. So with that, let me talk to you about God's directives regarding forgiveness. What exactly does this entail? What does it mean? Some of you already may be thinking, Lord, Brother Jackie, I love you and appreciate you being my pastor, and y'all are so kind and so gracious, but you may be thinking in your mind, you don't know what I went through. You don't know what I experienced. You don't know what I faced. And that's right, I don't know. But I do know the Word of God is infallible, inspired, and inerrant, which Jesus said always applies to every circumstance. What does God tell us about forgiveness? When we are aware of or suspect that somebody has been offended by us, we need to take measures to correct that. Or when somebody has offended us, according to Matthew 18, we ought to extend forgiveness. In every situation, we are to be initiators, reconcilers, and healers. Jesus, and I want to share with you five bullet points, just thoughts for you to hang your hat on. What are God's directives? How are we to go? First of all, we're to go privately. Matthew 8:15. This issue is between you and him. Go and talk to your friend alone, the one who you think is wounded or has been wounded by an offense. Go privately. Don't get on Facebook and tell the whole world about it. Go privately and seek to make things right between him and her or her and you alone. We're to go privately. We're to go promptly. Matthew 5:25, leave your gift at the altar. Go quickly. Go right away. Don't put this thing off. make things right. I know the pain is difficult, but the pain that you carry of unforgiveness is not nearly as hard to get rid of as you think. The grace of God can help you to deal with anything. We're to go promptly, go quickly. We're to go peacefully, be reconciled. We don't go to make a point. We don't go to share somebody our thoughts and give them a rendering of our opinion. We go to be reconciled, go peacefully, leave your place of prayer and go to be reconciled as best as you can. We're to go prayerfully. We just mentioned about the place of prayer. And we're to go persistently. That is, if your brother doesn't receive you, take somebody else with you. The bottom line is, don't guilt and give up, Esau. Don't quit. This thing of forgiveness is something God wants you to be victorious over, and God wants to give you the blessing of the freedom of forgiveness. There's some dangers that we need to be aware of when dealing with forgiveness or unforgiveness. I've listed several of them here for you. First of all, under Roman numeral number 4, letter A, unforgiveness is rebellion against God. This is not just a matter between me and somebody else, it's a matter between us and God as well. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. I struggled with that for a while. I began to read it and look at it over and over. And I think the bottom line of what Jesus is saying is, you can't be as filled with the Spirit of God, as blessed by the power of God as God wants you to be. You can't enjoy the abundant life that God has planned for you if you don't take seriously this matter of forgiveness. And extending forgiveness, it's not because they deserve it. It's not because they've asked for it. It's because Jesus said, we need to extend it because that's what God's done for us. Extend His grace to us. Unforgiveness is rebellion against God. Unforgiveness is a roadblock to revival. I like what it says in Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. Forgiveness is a roadblock to spiritual renewal and revival. It's ruined for us. I went through a season of being in a spiritual desert until God spoke to my heart about what my friend said to me, Jackie, you go and you take the initiative and you do whatever it takes to make things right. See, unforgiveness is ruined for us. The saints get advantage over us. We are not ignorant of his devices. The devil would love nothing better than to steal your testimony. Steal your victory, and steal your joy, steal your blessing of the Lord. So sometimes he'll do it through bringing somebody to your path that will offend you, hurt you, wound you. But Jesus came to extend forgiveness and wants us to do the same. Now let me show you what forgiveness is not. I want us to try to understand it as well as we can. Forgiveness is not several things. I've listed 6 or 7 here. Forgiveness is not canceling of your emotions. You don't go to be reconciled because it's the thing that you really want to do. You don't go to be reconciled because you have to. You go because God's told us to. We want to be obedient sons and daughters. And God, you say, Brother Jackie, I don't feel like it. And the truth is, I understand. You won't feel like it, but you need to be obedient regardless of your feelings. Forgiveness is not a canceling of your emotions. It's not approval of what somebody's done. I'd like to pull over to the gospel curb and park here just for a moment. Forgiveness is not approval of what somebody has done. You're not putting your stamp of approval on it. You're not endorsing wrong behavior or whatever the problem was. It's not approval of what somebody's done. It's being obedient to the Word of God. It's not compromise. You're not selling out on gospel truth when you do what God's told you to do. In fact, one of the most spiritual things you can do is forgive somebody, whether they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I really believe that the Lord gives us memory, a capacity to remember for a lot of reasons. But I believe He gives women the extraordinary capacity to remember. Yeah. You ladies don't forget a thing. Last night, Libby and I were watching a little football, enjoying a time at home watching a little sports. And there was a moment we flashed to an old Western. And the Western, the cowboy, turned a young lady over his lap and commenced to spank her. I could not change the channel quickly enough. Libby remembered an event in 1969. We were young newlyweds when I was digging a septic tank in the back of our little trailer. And Libby said, "Come on, supper's ready." I said, "I'll be in a minute." She came out 15 minutes later and said, "Come in, supper's ready." And I said, "Now, please realize I was 19 years old, or 18 years old. I said, if you don't quit bothering me, let me get this done, I'm going to turn you over my knee and spank you." Can you guess what I did? I turned the girl over my knee and spanked her. And I know some of you thinking, "Preacher, how could you possibly feel and conceive of such a thing?" I've asked myself that question many, many times. It was one of those moments when you just do something. And by the way, she recovered very nicely. And also, I never have even threatened to do that again. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's extending God's grace. Forgiveness is not being disloyal to somebody you love. This is probably one of the areas that spoke to my heart as much as anything. Somebody hurts a family member or a friend. You're not being disloyal to those that you love by being forgiving of somebody who's offended. You're not compromising. It's not being disloyal to somebody you love. Forgiveness is not necessarily, and this is so significant, it is not necessarily, that's underlined, a return to the way things were before. When you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean automatically your relationship will be exactly the same. And so it may be different. It may not be as warm as it used to be. It may not be as close as it used to be. It may be better than it used to be. The truth is, don't expect it to be the same. What forgiveness is, and I like this now, and briefly, five things. Forgiveness is five things. First of all, it's a choice, a spiritual choice that I make, because I made up my mind to do whatever it takes to be right with God. I'm not going to let something that happened months ago, weeks ago, or years ago steal my victory in Christ. I'm not going to withhold forgiveness anywhere where it's needed. It's a choice. Forgiveness is a cancellation of a debt. Nobody owes me anything, and I owe my all to Jesus. And it's not, it is a cancellation of a debt. It's giving up your right to get even. Point number three, it's a cutting of the cord, a release of our resentment. Giving up our right to be angry. Forgiveness is accounting on God. By the way, this is so significant. It's accounting on God to heal our wounded hearts and give us back the joy that we forfeited when we begin to harbor unforgiveness. Forgiveness is counting on God, and forgiveness is a correcting of the course. It's a change in the relationship. The situation that I faced many, many years ago, when with great difficulty, I got together with a person with whom I was wounded and had been offended, and family had been. It was a mess, and I asked them to forgive me because I had not been the example I should have been. The tears began to flow down their face, and they asked me to forgive them. And I realized, Lord, forgiveness is one of the greatest examples of what it means to live for Jesus. What's the young man's name who was shot recently and killed?
Charlie Kirk.
I was watching TV that afternoon when she gave her address after the funeral. And his wife was so precious. And she broke down and began to cry and weep like a baby. And her last words in her speech to the world were, "I forgive you." And I thought, here's a woman whose husband, father whose children has been stolen. And she's saying to that person, she's saying to the world, "I forgive you." The only way you can do that is by the grace of God.
Amen.
Yeah. By the grace of God. But Jesus, this is not in your outline, but remember this. Jesus will never ask you to do anything that doesn't give you the grace to do. And Jackie, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my relationships and my victory in Jesus? And I give you these 10 things briefly. First, acknowledge that you've been hurt. Admit your anger or resentment. Admit there's a struggle. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. Acknowledge that you've been hurt. Number two, confess that you have sinned. You sinned in other areas, but also it may be you may have sinned and that you did not go and you would not be reconciled and you've not sought to take the initiative and you've sought to bury the hatchet out of sight, but it's still there. Confess that you have said, Lord, my heart's not been right. I've let something come between me and you, and I don't want that anymore. I want to be as close and as blessed as I can possibly be. Third, acknowledge God's forgiveness of your sins. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt in all my pride. Lord, I forgive others because you've already forgiven me. Forgiveness, acknowledge God's forgiveness of your sins. Fourth, face the fact that unless you forgive all others, God cannot forgive you. In other words, you can't be thoroughly right with God. It'll be a roadblock in your relationship. Doesn't mean you're not saved. This means that you've got to be honest and extend forgiveness wherever it's due. Fifth, God, with God's help, make a conscious decision to forgive. Lord, help my struggle. Lord, help my desire to be right and my question about what to do. Ask God's help, making a conscious decision to forgive. Ask God daily to give you the power to forgive. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant until it's the decisions you make in a process of turning over the hurt to the Lord. If Jesus can heal the blind and make the crippled to walk, if he raised the dead, he can restore your joy and your peace from a broken relationship. Seventh, ask God to release you from the prison of resentment. Bitterness will steal your joy. Bitterness will steal your victory. Just say, Lord, I'm not going to let the devil do that anymore. I'm going to claim forgiveness of the blood of Christ. Eight, ask God for wisdom regarding letting others know of your forgiveness. Lord, give me wisdom. If I need to go to somebody to make things right or just make it private, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to do it. God will help you to discern the best path to take. Number nine, pray for those who have offended you or hurt you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 44. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's amazing when you learn to pray for somebody, you can also learn to love somebody because of the grace of God. 10, bless them that hurt you. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And all that to this end. Lord, what is it I'd like to ask you to do, and how I'd like to ask you to minister to me? First of all, the delights of forgiveness, these three things, and we're done this morning. The delight of forgiveness, forgiveness brings release from the prison of resentment. Lord, take off the shackles, take off the handcuffs, take off the braces. Set me free from the prison of resentment. Forgiveness brings restoration to peace, joy, power, our witness, our health, our fellowship with man and with God. Lord, give me back my peace, my victory in Jesus. I don't want to sing about victory in Jesus. I want to experience it and display it. And then revival, individually and corporate. Lord, do something in my heart and life that's so real that people can see the reality of the risen Christ in my life. Concluding question, forgiveness. How far are we supposed to go? There's no three-strike rule with God. Go as far as the cross. Jesus said this while hanging on the cross, bleeding, robed in his own blood, crowned with thorns. Father, say it with me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Would you bow with me?